Keep busting.
And tonight on Core 1FM, the issue is Christianity and pornography. We talk, amongst others, to Cliff Richard.
It only seems sensible to me that if I was going to inflict pain on someone then, because I believe they were blasphemers or whatever, then the way to do it is not to leave on their heavy red cloak, because that would absorb a lot of the lashes.
Cock naked.
Pardon?
Core 1FM.
Let's have your first record. What is it?
Leaked report due to be published tomorrow on Britain's prisons says that convicts should be expelled for bad behaviour. Governor said we can only do so much. After that, I'm afraid it's up to that lot out there.
This is Bruno Brooks. I've been taking drugs in the middle of the night.
Right, on tonight's Groping Worm, there's the new dance chart from Michael Alexander St. John. Your chance to air your views in Core 1FM tonight, the issue Christianity and pornography. A police report published today, which has taken 7 years to complete, reveals that most bonfires are started deliberately. Comic actor Tony Robinson today stripped himself naked and climbed Nelson's column. So far, no one has paid him the slightest attention. And in the news tonight, Martin Amis reveals that he gave away his latest novel to drugs pushers.
I just went to the guy, said, look, I need something. And said, I've got my book, would you sell that in security until I've got the money to pay you? And he's done that.
And Michael Portillo makes it up with the head of the Board of Trade, Michael Heseltine.
I am very much in love with Michael. I dedicate my life to being his wife. And we both look forward to raising a family.
That's nice. Come on, enjoy. This is Public Enemy.
I'd be better. Get some of that bass. Twinkin', fighting, tinkin', up for tankin', brains are wrecking. Doc, docking, chuck, rocking, flavor, flavor, next game. Get second magnetics to put my brothers and sisters on a deathbed. You know he cheated, took what he wanted, and then you bought it. Sucking up to the devil, back to general level. And who thinks fair is you? Who protects us from us? The you for you. Yes, and it counts. The 40 ounce. I sued those bastards, yeah, they got down. I did them like a demo, threw them out the window. I took a nut yet, cause I never liked a limo. Pump, 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 pump it up. A man grinds for mad times, that's what's up. Some ain't gonna change, I got them in the veins. I got a rearrange, so I'm building back your brain. Wrecking records with focus stuff. Am I loud enough? Yeah. You got to give it up.
Give it up, give it up, give it up, yo. Give it up, give it up, gotta give it up. Give it up, give it up, give it up.
and it counts. Mantis, Mantis, brothers know. The front to the back, got the black behind it, that's whack. And once again, it's on. It's Jimmy Crack, Hard Cracker, singing, I don't care, it's on. I'm coming with a rhyme, what? I'm letting go of rhymes. Yeah. I navigate around through the rough and crazy times. Call me a Hannibal Lecter, yes, I checked it. An old M&O, so here I go. I'm sick and tired, so fly and take you higher. But I'm taking it down to bring it down. Rappers ripping a lyrical, kicking, finger licking. But to the rhythm, I'm giving, but never cotton picking. Like James Brown, I'm singing it loud. Am I loud enough? Yes, you got to give it up. So second guessing my lessons about feeling young. Some don't know like Brunson, so here we go. Where it is inside, who cares?
It is. It is, damn right. My man X is a bad mother. I'm talking about Terminator. He's the man.
It is, can you hit me off with another one?
Calls are coming in at the moment for Christianity and Pornography. You'll be able to talk to Peter Hamill in less than 4 minutes' time. All you have to do is phone 071-637-4343. Other things which I quite like you to phone about or phone on. If you want to take part in the cow quiz, that'll be next week. Or if you are a lawyer, could you call 071-76-55-444? 071-76-55-444 if you want to take part in the cow quiz or if you're a lawyer. 1FM Roadshow out and about at the moment. Smiley Miley's there, though he's gone nuts because he's not allowed on air anymore. What he does is get bitter and drive his lorry at the crowd. And you can see Peter Howell out and about tomorrow, too. He does a special game in which he fights your children.
Oh, life, it's bigger. It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The links that I will go to, the distance in you. That's me in the spot, life, losing my religion.
Just lining up the first call now. Hi, I'm Peter Hamill. Tonight we're looking at Christianity and pornography. What are your views? They've always been linked, but exactly how? Is the overlap increasing, or is it getting smaller? Is it a bad thing? Can Christianity exist without pornography? What do you reckon? Give us a call, 071-637-4343, when tonight we look at Christmen and porn men.
Peter Hamill, call 1FM, line 1, Steve, Jersey.
Hello, good evening, Peter. Right, I was very struck by the idea that Christianity could not exist, if you like, without pornography. And I have to say that I find that to be contrary to the whole basis of Christianity.
You do agree, though, that pornography feeds Christianity in some way?
Well, could you just explain why you arrive at that conclusion?
If you take somebody who doesn't know Christianity and a pornographer throws his work into the system and a Christian reacts against it, pronouncing and gesticulating their message, then the man in the middle, the person who doesn't know Christianity, may overhear the Christian and be struck for the very first time by that message.
Yes, I think you're probably right to the extent that people may say, well, why do Christians feel that pornography is so negative?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that that stranger would be more likely to encounter God if they approximated themselves to a pornographer, because nearby would be the sound of a Christian reacting.
Well, the fact that Christians often don't hide behind their own church walls and don't do that is just human nature. It's part of human nature.
Yes, and if you have pornography going on outside the church walls, then the Christians will get up in arms, and then people walking past will notice the Christianity more.
You need the right sort of Christian response, and very often the Christian response is not a sufficient intellectual response, if you like, to the situation that's been presented.
So it's a case of popping out from behind the church wall with an intelligent face, the face of somebody on Mastermind or...
Well, anybody. There's any number of newsreaders might come into that category.
Would it be like sort of Richard Baker smiling?
Yes.
Steve, thank you for your call.
Right, yeah. Many bye thanks,
bye.
Peter. Okay, bye.
Call 1-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM-FM.
Next piece of music.
If you want to take part, it's in 1-637-4343. Seconds away from the new dance chart for Michael Alexander St. John and Kiddies Outing.
fry-ups. Simon Mayo, dressed as Felicity Kendrick, drowns himself in a dentist's aquarium.
Today is Wednesday, the 3rd of August, 1994, and today I would like to out Esther Winston, Mrs. Winston, the massive toothed, squeaky TV lady, and has been a practicing friend of Judy for as long as I've known her.
What are the stars like when you're young?
They went on forever. When we lived in Arizona, and the skies always had little fluffy clouds, and there were lots of stars. They were beautiful, the most beautiful skies ever. And the sunsets were.
By the way, if you'd like your kid to be doing our kiddies outing, then give us a call at 71. Which one is it? 76. 55544. Your kid can do it.
Brooks. I've been taking drugs in the middle of the night.
Phone-in issue tonight, Christianity and Pornography, with Peter Hamill on Call 1FM. We're lining up Cliff Richard.
Fluffy clouds.
Fluffy.
Peter Hamill on Call 1FM. We're joined now by Cliff Richard. Good evening, Cliff.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you very much.
Great. Now, let's look at this issue of Christianity and pornography. Where do you see the two overlapping?
I've never thought of them as overlapping. You know, it's almost as though Christianity doesn't really overlap with anything. Jesus was the only one who actually enveloped everything.
Well, if he was walking around today and walked into a pawn shop, what do you think he'd do?
Well, I suppose I'd perhaps go and speak to the guys and girls who work there. But it seems to me that almost every area that deviates and stops us, moves us away from that central line that is so difficult to walk down.
It's sometimes illegal to walk down the central line.
If it's illegal, you've got to say to yourself, do I break the law?
Yep.
In a way, again, this is what makes it so difficult.
Some people have seized on the imagery of the crucifixion and said that that is basically a sadomasochistic scene of the most top rank.
Well, I think if you're going to inflict pain on people, the best way to do it is to strip them so that you get straight to the flesh. And so, therefore, it only seems sensible to me that if I was going to inflict pain on someone because I believe they were blasphemers or whatever, then the way to do it is not to leave on their heavy red cloak, because that would absorb a lot of the lashes.
Cock naked.
Pardon?
But don't you think that provides a sort of rubric for some heavy, weird, bent porn?
Yes, I mean, I suppose I can understand that someone who's heavily into flagellation, thinking how sexually wonderful it is to think of the picture of Jesus being flayed.
Mm.
And in fact, if that's pornographic, I would suggest that everybody reads it.
Let's have record number 6.
Want to take part? 0716374343. Christianity and pornography. There'll be more after Newsbeat.
I'm so happy, 'cause today I found my friends in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, 'cause so are you. We're gonna miss Sunday morning. It's every day for all I care. Light my candles in our days, 'cause I found God.
That's Coswell at the front.
In our days, 'cause I found God.
Yeah, yeah.
Time now then for the top 10 grooves across the nation's dance chart from Michael Alexander St. John.
Okay, here come the topmost 10 2D spheres currently splitting the nation's wood. And new at number 10, last week's number 6, Discombobule 8 and Who's Operating Colin? There is no number 9. Straight in at 8 for P. Rince and Boy, You Have Got to Be the Most. I mean, how nice can you get? 49th week at 7, it's still there for Estrogen Blab Daddy and Bring Me a Chicken. Down 12 at 6, There They Sit, Urbane Bookie Collective and Dreamy Twat. And also at number 6, due to huge shopping, Dennis Helium with his remix of ELP's Anesthetics at the Birth of a Potato. Up more than I care to say, with their first major number 5, it's Love Minus Petrol and Blundering Around in a Tent. Up 12 and a half, a brand new number 4 for Beast of Beetroot and I'm Mr. Self-Loathing. At number 3, No Move for the Playtex Chin and Recordings of Newsagent Spiros. At number 2, it re-enters the chart for the 19th time in this position. A fine slice of ambient psycho for Simultaneous Beans with Here, Climb Into These Stirrups. So here it is, a massive new number 1. Brewed Tea and the Eye Level remix of Very Loud Twit. And I can tell you, I haven't been anywhere in the last fortnight where they haven't played this till it blew someone open.
Thanks so much indeed to Michael Alexander St. John.
It all reeks of Bertism, this lot, you know. Dreamy Twat in particular. Is it okay? Michael Alexander St. John. Yes. Oh, God.
There's a little bit of art here on 1FM, and the exhibition of frozen tourists continues in the Serpentine Gallery in Hyde Park this week. It's the work of artist Sainsburg Gook, who spent 4 years luring foreign travellers to his apartment and plunging them into liquid nitrogen, then mounting them in glass tanks. It's touring the world this year, and he's already had to bend legal codes in several international borders to get it through. Great Britain allowed it in on his plea of artistic insanity, but it is pending, so I'd get along as soon as possible. And I must say, as a deconstruction his essay in Facial Surprise, I think it is rather remarkable.
I got a broken face! Uh-huh! 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 Oh! I got a broken face! I got a broken face! I got a broken face! With his sister, so I
I'm Peter Hamill. This is Call 1FM. The subject today, Christ and Porn. If you have any views, give us a call on 071-637-4343. Bob Reed from the Church Army. Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, Peter. Hi.
Now, what do you make of the idea that Christianity needs pornography?
Well, God created man and woman, and I think he put in within them a love and a desire. I think pornography can degrade that, rather.
Like a dipstick in an oil sample.
Yeah. we have to take moves, I think, individually, day by day, which will nurture the right relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's a sort of a vertical and a horizontal, the two, and they're very much interlinked. And
which is more important, the vertical or the horizontal, would you say?
Well, I think it's probably both.
So what if somebody's gone too horizontal?
Too horizontal? Well, they may dry up, they may find life difficult.
Is the air down there worse? I mean, is it a more...
I'd say go for the cleanest air, the best air.
What about if you're too vertical?
I think the ideal is to look at the balance.
Presumably the correct blend would be 45 degrees.
Up and looking out. Looking up and looking out.
Do you agree that the crucifixion was an S&M scene?
It's how you look at anyone, whether you see them as a man or a woman.
Or a pornograph.
It's...
a porno person.
It's how you look at them.
Mm. Looking at a pornograph is very similar to the way God looks at us.
I'd say he's been around from the creation of the world right the way through to when it's going to be finished.
And he's presumably sitting up there and looking down on us like one great big porn ball.
Mm.
All right, Bob, well, thanks very much for your thoughts.
Peter.
We've been joined now by John Partington from the London Church of Christ. Good evening to you, John.
Good evening.
Now, what are your views on Christ and porn?
Well, we would say there's absolutely no place for pornography in our society.
Why is that?
It's a misuse of women. It's a misuse of women misusing themselves and the other way around.
What if that were further misused by one more degree?
I'm not quite clear what you're asking.
Excellent. Now, what about the good pornographer?
What's that?
Say, a milkman who reads bad magazines.
I don't think you can justify pornography, because I think there's enough evidence...
Even if it makes him better at his milk round?
Makes him better at his milk round.
He might actually be faster on his rounds with an excited mind.
But the consequences of doing that are not good.
Well, now, what about micro-pornographs?
What's that?
Well, it's a sort of pocket-sized thing. This is probably less than an inch by an inch. What do you think the most damaging effect of this micro-pornograph could be?
That it leads on. It's like a drug, it gets a hold of you.
And you might end up pushing micro-pornographs?
May do, but you would go on to do other things.
And do you say that, in fact, the smaller the pornograph, the more insidious and powerful its effect?
That's possible.
But obviously micropornographs can contain far more damaging images because they can't be seen readily over the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
All right, John, well, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Cheerio.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
What's up?
We better have your next record, I think.
And just checking the printers at the moment, news coming in that a miniature oil slick is threatening the North Norfolk coast. Coast Guards say it's roughly the size of an aspirin and may hit Attleboro tonight. 400 scientists are standing by.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed. Because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex. But all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. Military, the monetary. Military, the monetary. Military, the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief, who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. military and the monetary were shielded by January and went storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago, I hadn't heard the sumbitch. Now, all of a sudden, it's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary. They took the dignity from the dignitary. They took the secrets from the secretary, but they left the bitch an obituary. The military and the monetary from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand them because of the vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries. Tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizen secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary kept us all wondering if all of this was really truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only work for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way.
We do not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war, it is a time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary.
Say what you gonna do?
We hounded the Ayatollah religiously.
Libyan stated.
Bombed Libya and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians.
Watch that's a new one from
Gil Scott Heron.
Gil Scott Heron, man, became some kind of funk luminary. That messed his reputation with a bit of nasal chemistry.
Turned our brothers and sisters into
Gil Scott Heron, man, used to look kind of scary. Big tall man, pretty hairy. Now you see him on the posters wearing a kind of berry. Maybe the top of his head is getting a little airy.
What's the point of Thursday?
Okay, now, something rather exceptional here. I don't normally do requests, but I did get a letter last week, which rather moved me. It actually starts off, "Dear Chris, I know you don't usually do requests, but I hope my circumstances will move you to exception. I'm 38 years old. I live by myself, and while I do not entirely lack for company, I have no friends of more than 4 years standing and prefer to spend my time, particularly weekends, alone with my memory, for that is where my true friends are. 4 years ago, I was a key witness in the trial of a Wiltshire death ring. Several men were given life, but in the process, my own existence became threatened. Threatening messages on my pager and pig blood in my milk told me that I had been marked by the gang, and when I awoke one morning and found a skinned swan in the toilet, I applied for police protection. They obliged, but advised me to move from Blackburn to Kilburn. They also said I would not be safe unless everyone I knew believed I was dead. So with their help, I disappeared and headed south. Everything about me had to change, including my name. You may just have heard of me. Between you and me, but not for broadcast, it used to be Chollis Ketteridge. I used to run Hot Biscuits, the record shop off Calder Street. I also took the precaution of altering my face so that I would be completely unrecognizable even to my family. Alas, they, along with my true friends and dear wife Alice, could only exist for me in my mind and heart. The first few weeks in London were interesting, as a sort of challenge, but to be honest, the longer I spent in my new, strange environment, the less I desired to meet new people. They're all right, but the bonds you make after 30 are so superficial, frankly. It was Alice I missed most. By this January, I could feel my wits beginning to end. Then, just 6 weeks ago, something happened that split my brain end to end.
It was a Sunday, and I was purchasing some fittings at an all-week furniture store when there, arranging the display in the mid-tone bedrooms, I saw Alice. I knew it was her at once, every curve, every gesture. I just stood and gawped. No words, just a tennis ball in my throat. She saw me, a staring stranger, and looked away embarrassed. I ran out. For a week I returned every day, making enough purchases to avoid suspicion. At the same time, lurking and peeping as much as I could. She had noticed me again and smiled. Had she looked slightly too long? Christ's fat cock, how I ached. By Wednesday, I had gathered she was still unattached, but had three suitors who would contrive to visit her during the day, making her laugh and blush with their vacuous flirting. How men become ridiculous at the hands of lust. One of them, the stupidest but most forward, asked her out. I seized from behind a rather unpleasant shelf. I wanted to shout, "Alice, I love you, help me!" I couldn't, of course. So I scrawled it onto the back of an odd bins receipt and pushed it deep into my pocket. I was being eaten up. By Thursday, she was playing them off against each other. She said she wanted to go to the lakes for the weekend with whoever could guess the whereabouts of her birthmark. I knew she was just amusing herself, trying to forget me, but still, I felt the full bowling in my gut when she said that. But I also knew she had given me my chance. No one could guess about the small, violet disc in the warm pink of her mouth. But I knew. The answer had to be written down and placed in an envelope. They would be opened on Friday lunchtime in the park outside the store. All morning, I loitered on the grass, wishing I smoked, muttering at squirrels, until at last the improbable foursome emerged, excited and chattering. I watched with growing glee as first one, then two, and finally three faces failed, despite their smiles, to fully disguise their disappointment. Alice laughed and tossed her hair. This was my moment. I ran forward. I thrust my envelope into her hand and said, "Open it, please. Trust me. You must open it." They laughed. They pretended to take me seriously. Alice slipped her finger under the flap and drew out my note. She read it and read it again. She looked at me, aghast. She looked at her suitors, who were now no longer smiling, searching for some clue. "But who?" "Chollis," I said. "Chollis Ketteridge, and I love you. I'm not dead. I had to run away, but I don't care if they kill me now. I want you back." After an aching pause, a tear rolled onto her cheek. "Chollis," she whispered, and leaned forward to kiss me. I shut my eyes, but never felt her lips, because at that moment she was transfixed by a spear of frozen liquid waste from an aeroplane toilet facility. I will never forget her face as she lay pinned to the turf. The look of stunned incomprehension, tempered still with a slight sensual anticipation, is pop-riveted to the scarred bonnet of my memory. But you would bring back happier moments if you played Horse With No Name, the cover version by David Essex. Jollis, it's a pleasure.
It felt good to be out of the rain.
In the desert, you can remember your name.
'Cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
The ocean is a desert with its life on the ground and the perfect disguise above. Under the cities lies a heart made of ground, but the humans will give no love.
I don't normally do requests, but if you have a story that you think may move me, then do let me know. Back to Chris Morris, care of BBC Radio 1, Egton House, London, W1. On the phone still tonight, more on Christianity and pornography. And we'll be talking to Paul Garner, who'll be bothering a shop.
Do it my way. Outside in the night, outside in the
This is Peter Hamill. We're looking at Christianity and pornography. Earlier today, I spoke to the comedian Don McLean. We shall be hearing from him next. Play on, sister.
Looking for some happiness, but there's so little loneliness to find. Turn to the left, turn to the right. Looking upstairs, looking behind.
Yeah. Looking back on the track, where we little green back.
Tomorrow's papers have just arrived. We'll be looking at those in a moment. And Paul Garner is dithering around in a shop somewhere. We'll be talking to him in about 5 minutes.
Call 1FM.
Call 1FM with Peter Hamill. The subject, Christianity and pornography. We've been joined by the broadcaster, Don McLean. Good morning to you, Don.
Morning.
Now, what are your views, basically, on Christianity and pornography?
Pornography is wrong. And I think the sooner the church stands up and takes a strong stance against this, as well as all other moral issues, the better we will all feel.
Right, so how do you feel then when certain language is coined in the pornographic area and it incorporates ecclesiastical terms?
Such as?
Beating the bishop.
Beating a bishop, as far as I'm concerned, would be running faster than he did. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about, really.
Pounding the parson? You don't see any reason for replacing these terms with a term like choking the chicken?
Choking the chicken?
You obviously prefer choking the chicken to beating the bishop, then.
Well, I don't find any of those things offensive. I mean, is somebody going to come up to me and say, would you like to choke a chicken? I mean...
Basically, they're all euphemisms for self-abuse.
Oh, is it? Oh, I must be honest, I've not heard any of those expressions. I'm ever so sorry. I feel I should write you a letter of apology for wasting your time, to be honest.
I suppose that'd be nice, actually, if you could. Yes, call 1FM, care of BBC Broadcasting House.
Who's the producer?
Paul Mullins.
Paul Mullins, that's right.
Yeah, if you were something like, you know, dear Paul, sorry for to waste your time.
Yeah, I'm ever so sorry. I really do apologise. I feel I've been a bit of an idiot.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.
Bye-bye. And that's it for Christianity and Pornography. I gather we've got Paul Garner knocking around somewhere here. Paul.
Yo.
Yeah, are you in a shop?
I'm in a toilet.
You're in a toilet?
I'm in a toilet as a pub.
Well, get into a shop, man.
I've been waiting for you.
Okay, well, how long are you going to be?
Oh, Christ, I've got to do my trousers up yet.
Paul is going into a shop. While he's doing that, here's tonight's feedback report. Tossing your head. What does it mean when you do it?
Tossing my head means you don't want to know.
Is it an outdated thing to do, toss your head?
We don't see so much of these days, do we? No.
So what distance would you say were the ideal distance for tossing a head?
Oh, I think 10 feet.
It'd be pointless doing it if they were further away.
Oh, I think so. Then they wouldn't know what the scoreboard was while you were tossing your head in the first place.
Exactly. And it might not carry.
No, of course it wouldn't. Okay. No.
So when you don't want to know, you toss your head.
Yeah. A little gesture in my arms as well, yeah.
To accompany the departure of your head.
That's right, yeah.
And then you'd try and make your way home as normally as you could.
That's right. Of course I would.
How's he doing? Yeah, Paul.
Oh.
Yes, are you in a shop?
I'm in it.
What are you doing?
I'm waiting.
You're waiting in the queue?
Yeah.
What have you got with you?
Bread and peanut butter.
Right. And how far are you away from being served?
I'm next.
You're next?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come to me now.
All right. He's coming to you now?
Yeah.
Well, ask him if that bread has been used on animals, if it's used to, kill animals.
Okay. Hi. This bread... Has this been used on animals before I buy it? Has that been used on animals? It hasn't.
Ask me, what's this turning circle?
What's the turning circle of this loaf, please? Before I buy it, I want to know what the turning circle is, please. Sorry? The turning circle. The loaf. The till's going crazy. What's going over there?
Ask him how much it will cost to service it.
How much is the service on this, please? How much will this thing cost to service, the loaf? 99 pence for a service? Ridiculously priced.
Yeah, what's the 0-60 on the loaf?
What's the 0-60 on the loaf, please?
I don't know.
They don't know.
What
just,
about the...
Hang on a sec, can you just say this into this phone, please? I'll take these if you could just say this into the phone,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, is it manual or automatic?
Is this manual? Yes, yes, manual.
Can you just tell her to say manual right into the
can
phone?
Can you just say manual for me, please? Sorry? They're not interested.
Okay, just ask them if they live in a citadel.
Is there any citadels available here for you to inhabit?
Okay, ask him if he's been to hell.
Oh, my goodness.
Are they after you? Have you done the transaction?
The transaction is done. The change is in my hand.
Well, ask him if they've ever been to hell.
Have you ever been to hell, please? Hello? Have you?
I'm not dead yet, so how can I be to hell?
Move.
I'm out of here, man.
All right, but just throw the bread back in as you go.
Fuck, I need it, man. This is my food. You don't pay me enough. Oh, God.
How did you feel?
I'm glad to be out of there. It's the same one as I went into before.
What, last week?
It's Shaftesbury 7-Eleven.
You idiot.
I couldn't help it. That's the only one.
All right,
I'll
go in there next week as well.
Oh, God bless you.
Bye.
Bye.
Charlie, to Paul, to Rebecca. Peter Bainham, no Peter Bainham tonight because he's rehearsing his one-man show of saliva and death, which is on in 10 days' time at the Edinburgh Festival. This chance to check through the headlines in tomorrow's papers. New cotton engine, slimy but fast, says Citroen. That's in today. Here's the Times. Clark and Major clash in I possibly may have nudged you, but that's all, brouhaha. That's cabinet rows abounding there as the Tory party implodes with self-loathing. But not so, say the Mail. It's all a misunderstanding. There's the write-up under the snapshot of Heseltine and Portello kissing on the steps of the DTI. Record companies carpeted for Let's Cremate Linda Ronstadt Jape. That's in the New York Times. And bath-shaped woman to be used as lifeboat. That's in the Portsmouth Twat.
Last record.